Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hackenberg takes the snap. Back. Christian waits. Fires in the end zone. Got him. Touchdown. Penn State. Chris Godwin. And the Nittany Lions cap an 80-yard drive. Hackenberg, 6-for-6 so far. They show blitz. Takes the snap. Back. Fade near corner. Lewis. Up in the air. Got it. Touchdown, Penn State. End over end. Farmer backpedals. He's coming out 5 yards deep. 5, 10, 15, 20. Far side, 30. 35. Zaleski grabs him. Farmer breaks the tackle, 50. Hit at the 45. And Koa Farmer inside the Illinois 45 at the 43-yard line. Wing right. A pitch it to Scott. Rolls right. Looks back for Hackenberg. Wide open at the 10. Makes the catch. Hackenberg near corner. Touchdown, Penn State. Barkley takes it, fakes it to Polk, up the middle, to his right, bounces near side to the five, hurdles in the air to the touchdown. Nittany Lions, Saquon Barkley hurdles into the end zone. Game, set, and match, Nittany Lions. Fourth and one, they're in the gun. Takes it, and down he goes. Torrance Brown off the edge for a loss at the 42-yard line. The Nittany Lions take over on downs, and Torrance Brown with an outstanding defensive series off the edge.
Pitch it to Allen, right side. Allen through the hole, cuts back to the 20, 15. Mark to the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Penn State. Mark Allen knocks it in from 21 yards out, and the Nittany Lions expand their lead to 38-0.
So Penn State wins on Saturday 39-0. I talked last week about the adjustments that they were forced to make offensively against Maryland, because Maryland came out in a completely different defense and defenses that were on any tape. So after in the middle of the third series, they made the adjustment, and after that they put 31 points on the board the rest of the way. This time it was just start to finish. They just got it done. I'm not going to, there really weren't any adjustments needed in that game because they had the right plan. They were set to go. They set it up. I'll give you a good example. The Hackenberg catch, brilliantly set up throughout the course of that first half. Okay, what Penn State did was they self-scouted and they put the toss in this week. Well, they put that toss in and kept tossing, all right? And so what they did was, after doing it enough times, they got Illinois conditioned to then go after the toss, because that's what Penn State was doing. And that was that wrinkle they'd put in. They self-scouted, so we're not running this outside read enough on this toss, with the idea that they also had to throw back to the quarterback in it when Nick Scott was in the game. Well, what happened was, boom, they got it. They got down inside the red zone, went with the toss action, which they had set up throughout the course of the game, and Illinois went for it, which they should have, because there was no indication to them what was going to happen. And Hackenberg then rolled out, was wide open, and was there. Because part of that toss action is that Christian would always roll and run away from it. That's part of the toss action to begin with. So him running away from it was typical of what they had done, and then he threw back and he caught it. That's how you set it up. Sometimes you run a play and you run a couple of things to then set up something else you want to do. That was a perfect example of that. Now let's get to defensively. Bob Shoup made an in-game adjustment that Jack and I both really liked, and that was when they were going dime, they were going to what they call their dollar look. And that dollar look is three down linemen, six defensive backs, and two linebackers. They did that against Temple, and I didn't really think that that worked out well in the Temple game. Temple actually ran the ball. Temple had some big running plays against that alignment in the opener. Well, they brought it back in this game, and they could not get enough pressure on Lunt with the three down linemen, even when they were blitzing other guys. Bob then made the adjustment to go with the four down linemen, take out the second linebacker, and then go with the six DBs. And that alignment is the one that they consistently went with when they wanted to go dime over the final two and a half, three quarters, and just shelved the three down linemen. They always made sure they had four, and there were times they could get pressure with four. So those are a couple things that we saw along the way where, you know, they were able to get some things done. And they won 39-0. It's not outside of the place kicking. And, you know, Tyler Davis is a great story. I mean, a great story. He never kicked at a football game until this year. In his life, had never kicked at a football game till this year. He played soccer at Bradley and then transferred here. Then he got a hold of Coach Huff, and he said, you know, I can kick. And so they brought him over, and they took a look at him. They said, yeah, you can kick. It's a different story. This is not a guy who kicked in a game before or kicked in a football program before. Had not. He was a soccer player and played soccer at Bradley. He transferred in here, and I think he's in finance. He tried to get into the Smeal College of Business, but because of the transfer, they wouldn't let him do it. I'm not going to get into the politics or the reasons behind that because I don't know. All right, let's talk about hockey for a moment because Kevin always enjoys when we discuss pucks. Pete Jensen, who, by the way, Pete, I got to give you credit from NHL.com. You're the only guy that predicted on this show that Montreal would open up 9-0. I got to give you credit, man.
I don't know if I predicted first nine, but I did see them coming out strong, and they certainly have, and now they're able to prove what they are minus Carey Price, who's going to be out for at least a week. Obviously, Carey Price is the reigning Vezina and Hart Trophy winner, the best goalie in the land by a good margin, and now they're going to have to roll with their backup, who has been very good this season, Mike Condon. And, the Canadiens have been really the story so far in terms of a team that has gone deep in the playoffs each of the past 2 years, just looking hungrier and hungrier of each passing season.
And now, here's the interesting part. Through 10 games, I'm going to just use the through 10 games part. Montreal had given up 17 goals. The Penguins had given up 17 goals. The difference was that the Canadiens had scored 36, and the Penguins had scored 16.
That's incredible.
Discuss the Montreal offense for a moment, and then we'll get into the Penguins' offensive problems.
Sure, yeah. I think the top line of Montreal has been one of the best in terms of goal differential in the league. I mean, a lot of that is due to the goaltending, but also I think due to Max Pacioretty and the two-way game he plays. He's a guy that plays on the power play, also plays shorthanded, and plays very well at even strength with Plekanec and Brendan Gallagher. And that's been the line that has carried the Canadiens. They've also had, you know, deeper down the line, Galchenyuk, who we've heard about past years in the playoffs. Also a guy, David Desharnais, who's playing with Tomas Fleischmann. I mean, they have these guys who are contributing 10-plus points on the season already, each of them, and, you know, in depth role spots. So it's been not only the top line up front, but the second and third lines have also carried the weight for Montreal. They also have two great defensemen in PK Subban and Andre Markov, who both play on the power play
and Subban,
and both block shots. They're very good defensemen. They have been for a number of years.
And Subban has a shot that is unbelievable. You want to talk about heavy?
Yep.
He has a heavy shot.
It's a scary shot, really, yeah. If you're one of the defensemen tasked with trying to get in the way of it. You could easily break something with that shot coming through. So, yeah, and Markov, who I mentioned as well, is much later in the game in his career. He's an older player in his mid-late 30s. But, Yeah, he sets the table for all these guys, especially Subban. So he actually had a monster game with I think it was 5 points, a goal and four assists, a couple weeks ago against the Sabres. So you see some of the contributions across the board from this team. You see why, in addition to having the top flight goalie in the league, they're able to produce a string of wins, quite like this.
What about the Penguins? Malkin's been okay. Kessel's been okay. Can anybody figure out Sidney Crosby?
I mean, he was not working well with Kessel, and he's been kind of, as a lead of a point producer as he's been throughout his career, there's always just this thing where it's very tough to play with him because he plays such a fast game. It's one of those things like if you have a guy that's so good dishing off passes, it's like in basketball, you have to have guys who can anticipate those type of plays. And, that's the struggle they're having right now. I mean, they're rolling him out there with Hornquist and Pascal Dupuis of late. I mean, Dupuis coming off a number of injuries over the past few years. Dupuis played well with Crosby in the past. That's got to be the hope for the Penguins because, really, whether you're talking about David Perron or Chris Kunitz or even Phil Kessel early on, I mean, that was kind of a preliminary thing. We still may see Kessel with Crosby at some point at even strength moving forward, but it just seems like things are not working right now on Crosby's line, and it's concerning that the Kessel thing didn't work out because that was something that a lot of people around the league thought would flourish and produce 280 or 90-plus point guys by season's end, and it seems like Malkin is excelling much better than Crosby alongside Kessel.
Well, you know what? I did a part of a show when Crosby signed his contract. I did a show looking at NHL stars and their production and how their production after the age of 25, while still being good, is nowhere near the level it was before the age of 25. He's fallen right in place with all of them. It's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, he's dictated the scoring in the league for, his 10-year, for the past decade, really, him and Ovechkin. You can't say enough about them, but I totally agree. I think you look at the superstars around the league right now, they're all under 25. It's crazy. And then, you might see a slight decline as they get over. I mean, some guys 22, 23 years old are just blowing the roof off the league with their point production. And
right.
It's a young man's game right now, and you have some – you can still have your grizzly veterans like Jaromir Jagr when he's healthy who can play alongside young players like this and in the right situations be able to capitalize and produce a point per game. In his case, that's an extraordinary story. I know he's day-to-day right now, but he was pretty much a point per game for Florida at age 43. But that's the exception, not the rule. I think it's becoming a young man's game with all the speed and physicality and hits that these guys are taking to their bodies.
All right, now the other end of the spectrum. How stunned are you, Pete, by Anaheim?
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, I attribute that more. They've been decent at home. Obviously, now they're playing without Ryan Getzlaf, who had appendicitis, and he was dealing with some, abdominal pain in the preseason and then early on in the regular season. So he's out. But I'm more stunned by the just how a guy like Ryan Kessler, who used to be a 70-plus point producer, I mean, with all the injuries he's sustained over the past 5 years or so, I mean, he's not producing points at all. That was a second line with a guy like Silverberg, Carl Hagelin, like guys, he came over from the Rangers. You just expected more from that team, especially how close they came to being the Blackhawks last year,
right.
How close they've been to the ultimate prize over the past few seasons. They kept having hiccups in the playoffs under Bruce Boudreau, and now they're scoring. They only have 2 wins in 11 games, and they're winless on the road on the season. I think you can attribute it to how good the entire league is. I mean, Anaheim's schedule. They're playing Nashville. They're playing Dallas.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy, but they're playing the Sharks. I mean, there's so many good teams out there, especially in the West, that you have a team getting off to a rough start, and it just seems like there's no light at the end of the tunnel. So I think Anaheim can turn it around. I think it's important for the front office there to realize that this was a tough season-opening road trip, and being patient and getting Getzlaff back, they could turn it around. But, yeah, that has been the most shocking, I think, because Columbus has been equally shocking but didn't have the recent track record of Anaheim being an elite team in the Western Conference. A lot of people picked them to win the Cup this year. That's probably not going to happen, and we'll see if they could even turn it around and make the playoffs at this point.
Right. And, yeah, because John Tortorella takes over there as the head coach in Columbus. Nashville's been pretty good in the regular season in the last couple of years. They're good in the regular season again. Are they a good enough all-around team to sustain this? Because I know losing Shea Weber in the playoffs last year hurt them against Chicago.
Yeah, for them, it's they have as good of a defense as you'll find. It's just going to be – it's going to come down to weathering the storm in the regular season, because that's the toughest division in the league right now with teams like Dallas, St. Louis, Nashville, Chicago, Minnesota, Winnipeg. I mean, it doesn't end in that division. And one of those teams that I mentioned may miss the playoffs this year just because of the structure of the playoffs in the NHL right now. So Nashville has to weather the storm. They have as good of a defense and an elite goalie. They came very close to beating the Blackhawks last year. It's going to just come down to, can their younger players mature enough to provide the support around their big guys? Can they all stay healthy? I think Nashville has a good chance to get to the second or third round this year, no question about it, because they really are one of the deepest teams in the league.
Pete, what's your initial thought on the Philadelphia Flyers?
I'm concerned with Jacob Voracek, because now, you know, it seems like they're moving him off Claude Giroux's line, and he has the most shots on goal. He's among the top 10 league-wide in shots on goal, but in terms of guys in the league who have not yet scored a goal, Voracek has the most shots. He has no goals on 44 shots.
Wow.
He has 20 shots over his past four games, shots on goal, not attempts. So he's getting the puck on net. It's just shocking because he had that, you know, he signed that big extension for the Flyers, and he was a guy that really they were banking on to score 60, 70 points a season. Maybe not the 81 he had last year, but,
right.
I mean, give them something. And just that he's going to get bumped off for now in the short term, we'll see if it helps him. We'll see the Flyers' power play unit, which has been top five, top 10 each of the past 4 or 5 years, is 24th right now. So they got to turn that around. They got to get Simmons involved. They got to turn that thing around. But, last week was as rough as it gets for a Flyers fan. I mean, they lost to Buffalo twice and the Devils. The Devils have been one of the most surprising teams in the league. Nobody thought they would be in the playoff hunt this late, even a month into the season, because, just some of the offensive deficiencies they had on paper. But they've actually been pretty good, and they took it to the Flyers in their house a couple of days ago. So the Flyers have a lot to do. A lot of work to do just to get back into that thick of things with some surprising teams in their division.
Pete, thanks so much. Always enjoy it.
Yeah, always a good time coming on. Thanks so much.
Pete Jensen, NHL.com. Kevin's complete analysis of pucks in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
If you're not insured with the Purdy Insurance Agency, you may not be getting the most out of your insurance coverage. Locally owned and family operated for over 90 years, the experienced team at Purdy will compare your rates and coverage among a number of nationally recognized insurers to make sure you're getting the most out of your insurance dollars. And once you join the Purdy family of customers, you'll experience service and claims handling that's second to none. Call 1-800-677-2478 to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line of few other auto dealers in our area can compete with. With our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915. And that was Kevin's complete analysis of the hockey interview. Kev, thanks so much.
Pleasure.
Really good stuff. Good stuff.
I'll do it again in the after show for you, in case you missed it.
I want to tell you right now, when it comes, they do grades every week on how people do. You get an A on the after show all the time. I never hear it, but I hear about it.
No one ever complains about the after show.
Ever. A lot of it seems to happen in your car on the way home.
Yes. And the listenership is always satisfied with what they hear.
It also involves a lot of yelling, some anger.
No, that was yesterday, watching the game on TV.
Bitterness toward the show. You have anger management issues.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you today. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. The Purdy's have served the Valley for decades. Long-term customers, repeat customers. Insurance is critical. You need to have an insurance agent and an insurance agency you trust that's going to put your needs first, understands budgets, understands needs. I've just described Purdy Insurance. What a great staff. Great staff. All at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Thanks to Pete Jensen, Joe Susan for being on today. Let's get to the JT Barrett situation. He's going to be suspended for one game, and also he'll be off scholarship during the summer session. Wow. He's obviously going to be on scholarship for the rest of this year, and obviously, for spring practice, he's on scholarship. He can obviously elect to not take summer session and not be there. But here is the interesting part. He's a quarterback. And I think not taking summer session really is not an option. You got to be out there with your guys, working out and so forth. Look, he's not enrolled in school at that particular moment. He can't be using the workout facility. So he can't be out there working out with them. So and by the way, because he is not an Ohio resident, he and his family would have to pay the out-of-state rate for a summer session. Now, what keeps you rolling? I mean, does he take, most places do it on a per credit basis. Can he take just a course, 3 credits? Or does he have to take 6? I don't know. But he and his family will have to pay for the summer. And as a quarterback, he's going to have to be there. Now, he could elect, for example, to not enroll this summer. And he can, for example, go to a quarterback camp. He could do that. Like George Whitfield's camp, somebody like that. Manning camp. So there's some options there for him. You know, some people are going to say, oh, just the summer session. What kind of penalty is that? No, that's a penalty. That's a penalty.
I'm just curious about the penalty for 2 weeks when one of them is a bye week.
Yeah, all right, but what was the number? My understanding is he was barely over the legal limit.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. I'll be honest. I don't know the details of what's going on here. But if you have a standard punishment, let's say, or a standard procedure for this, and you're going to do 2 weeks, the bye week shouldn't be counted as a week. Like, you're going to miss eight quarters of football. That's the way it should be, instead of 2 weeks. It depends on how they have this worded.
Look, you know what? In the end, to me, this doesn't really matter. I mean, they suspended him for a game. Okay, that's fine.
Well, all I'm saying is don't come out and say we've given a 2 week suspension. No, you haven't. I mean, yeah, I understand he's not going to be able to practice. All right, let's be honest. It's a week suspension, maybe a week and a half, if you count the practices. But don't call it something it's not.
But you know what? I'm not going to get into the particulars of a suspension of a guy from the outside looking in. I mean, there's all sorts of things I want to know about first. You know, was it 0.09 or was it 1.2? I mean, I want to know certain particulars along the way. Why was he pulled over? Was he pulled over driving erratically? Was he? I mean, there's a lot of things I'd like to know first before I really
get into
the meat of what somebody's suspension has to be. So there's a lot of things he's going to have to do here. As for the summer suspension, I mean, he doesn't have to go to class. If you want to go to quarterback camp, spend his money there, they could do that. And he's got a lot of options. Dick in Milton. Hi, Dick. Good to have you with us today.
Hey, Steve. I just wanted to call in today to compliment the overall performance of Penn State. Obviously, it was critical last week, but other than short of kicking, they really responded quite well. Hackenberg played obviously the best game he's played this year by far. I mean, he was even had happy feet. I'll give it to you that way. He actually ran the ball at times when nobody really thought he would. So, but I wanted to compliment. They actually played very well, and I was really happy with the overall performance. I was short of kicking a little bit, but that they can correct that down the line, I'm sure.
Yeah, and part of that's a twofold issue there, Dick, on that one. That was low kicks by him, so let's start with that. But they also did not do a good job blocking it. They didn't do a good job. On those two extra points, they did not do a good job blocking it, and he didn't help by kicking it low. Kicking it out of bounds, that's the fourth time. And then for Davis, he's done that once. That's five times now this year. And I don't want to be giving up 35-yard line on kickoffs.
Yeah, I mean, it can come back to hurt him eventually. I mean, big time in a critical situation.
So. Completely agree with you. Completely agree. Spot on.
The only thing I was going to comment about the Ohio State situation, if he'd have been at Florida State, he might only have to set out for a series.
That's a good point.
They were never that severe with their guys, anyhow. And the only other comment I wanted to make was,
Dick, we do know at Florida State that if you fire BB guns and like damage property, you're okay.
They never really paid much penalties for some of the infractions that the players down there did. So, I mean, this is just the way. Just difference in coaching. I mean, that's just the way it is. But anyhow, the only thing I was going to comment other about was, I really feel bad for the Penn State heavyweight wrestler. I mean, he sat out a whole year waiting to get his chance. Three seniors last year, and he's out for the year. Neville. And I guess one of the football players came off the team to wrestle. He was a two-time state champion at 195, James Johnson.
Yes. Yes, he did, as a matter of fact. Yeah, that's too bad about that. Yeah, yeah.
Unfortunately, they didn't have a backup for McIntosh at 97. They didn't have a backup for Nevels at heavyweight, which is kind of mystifying in a sense. But, I mean, that's just the way it is in wrestling. So, I mean, sometimes you just don't have enough bodies at certain weight classes, and that happened to be at Penn State, which is, as I say, somewhat kind of mystifying when you get the final two weight classes and only have two kids.
But, someday when I get Cale on the coach's show, he'll be on the coach's show in a few weeks.
Right.
I'm going to ask him about the logic of 9.9 scholarships when you have 10 available positions.
I don't know. I wonder what they do at Ohio State for wrestling. I'm just kidding. Because they had one of the best teams, and their heavyweight's not wrestling either. He took a red shirt for the Olympics or whatever, I guess. Anyhow.
Yeah, because he's wrestling freestyle. That, you know, and that's what like Mega Lutus did that last year with more freestyle work, and Zane Rutherford did that last year, more freestyle work. So,
Well, anyhow, if Penn State plays as well the last three games as they did this game, I mean, I feel pretty confident that they could do very well against Northwestern. And maybe, all three games are winnable.
And I agree with that.
I guess that's where I go on. That's not.
I think that's a fair assessment.
I mean,
that is a fair assessment.
Play all that well against. They played pretty well. They scored a lot of points, but Minnesota scored a lot, too. So anything's possible. I guess that's just the game, the nature of football. All right.
Yeah.
I wanted to compliment
him.
I know I was. I had a follow up last week. If I'm going to be I'm going to be nasty to him, I'm going to be happy with him at the same time. All right. See you, Steve.
See, I respect that, Dick. Thanks, Tony. It's Shemokin. Hi, Tony.
Good afternoon. This might be a stupid question. Probably is. But
I ask him all the time. So.
Could a wealthy alumnus pay for J.T. Barrett's summer at school?
No, he cannot.
Even though he's not on scholarship.
No, right, exactly. They cannot do that. Remember, this was something that came up where people were asking questions when Penn State had its scholarships dropped down to 65, and people were asking about the run-on program here at Penn State. And several people asked, well, what if some wealthy alumnus wanted to pay for? And the answer was emphatically no then. It would be emphatically no in this case. So it's actually something we've discussed on the show before.
I must have missed that episode.
Tony, loyalty, come on.
I was not in reception area. How's that?
Good. I'll accept that.
I have to say that quarterback for Cincinnati, he played a good game because he won at the end. That reminds me of another quarterback who had a bad game against the Steelers, but in the end he won. It was, oh, my God, I can't think of it right now. He played for Denver. Oh, what was his name?
Begins with a T, right? Tebow?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had one pass. Like one pass, okay?
I mean, if I recall correctly, Tony, that somebody on this show complained or actually was bragging about Cincinnati's first-round exits, but they never lost to Tebow in the first round.
No, they didn't. Not very many teams ever did.
Listen, even Cincinnati fans right now are going, we're not going to get too excited until the playoffs.
Listen, you wear a uniform that looks like a bumblebee. You deserve to lose.
You know what? I agree. Those are awful. Worst throwback uniforms in the NFL by many different surveys.
I don't know. The Packers are pretty bad, too.
Yeah, they are bad. My four-year-old grandson, Colin, who really is starting to get into football a little bit, and it's cute because he refers to Beaver Stadium as Grandpa's Stadium.
There you go.
Okay, he does. All right, comes in and he sees the Steeler uniforms. He says, "Grandpa, what's that? What team is that? They look ridiculous."
And he's right. It's a cross between a bumblebee and a jailbird. I'm not quite sure which. Oh. It was perfect though for the day after Halloween.
That's a four-year-old. They would have been great if they wore them uniforms the day Tebow beat them.
I tell you right now, Tony, you're brilliantly getting under his skin right now. I strongly encourage it.
You know, it used to be nice to hear from Tony, but guess what? Tony, you're gone.
Tony, his name's not in the show. He has no power. All right. Oh. Thanks, Tony.
Oh, geez, that's word. Have a good day, guys.
Thanks, Tony. All right, 800-795-9565. Two great calls. All right, we'll take a break. Kevin will come back with more on fashion in a moment. You're big into the uniform thing.
They're bad. They're just bad. I am all for throwbacks, but I have a reason for the throwback. What was the reason for the throwback yesterday? Exactly.
To make you angry.
Well, that worked.
I mean, the fact they go into a boardroom every week and there's a list. What will make Kevin? Well, let's just pick one here. We're back with more in a moment. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Radio PA's Ask the Governor program brings you extended Q&As with Governor Tom Wolf, and you have a chance to be part of the show every month. Have a question or comment about taxes, government spending, or any other topic that impacts your life? Well, send your questions and comments to Governor Wolf anytime by visiting pamatters.com and clicking the Ask the Governor link at the top of the page. We'll present your questions to Governor Wolf during every show. John in Mount Lebanon wrote in, "When are the politicians going to Hanover Township for our next question?" And Phil writes in, "Will people buying food with access
Wilkes-Barre is our next stop." Anthony.
The award-winning Ask the Governor program from Radio Pennsylvania, now featuring Governor Tom Wolf. Visit PAMatters.com to have your voice heard and to view video clips from all our Ask the Governor tapings. Ask the Governor is a production of Radio PA, Top Flight Media, and PAMatters.com.
This is Governor Tom Wolf. I'm ready to answer your questions, so stop by PAMatters.com today.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Leadership. A word that used to describe what we expect from our government is not very common anymore. Fortunately, Commissioners Malcolm Dirk and Joe Kantz have provided Snyder County residents with proven leadership.
Hi, this is Joe Kantz.
And this is Malcolm Dirk.
Since taking office, Malcolm Dirk and I have served Snyder County with professionalism, fiscal responsibility, and commitment to you, the residents of this wonderful county. On November 3rd, vote for Malcolm Dirk and Joe Kantz.
Vote for the proven leadership team. Paid for by the Committee for a Better Snyder County.
It's the Dan Patrick Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Are you trying to tell me that Don Mattingly didn't want to manage this team? I don't think it's mutual. It sounds nicer when you say that it was mutual, we decided to part ways, instead of saying, we fired Don Mattingly. It felt like this was World Series or bust for the Dodgers with that payroll.
Dan Patrick.
Don't be a hater.
The Dan Patrick Show, weekday mornings at 10 on News Radio 1070 WKOK and on the WKOK app.
It's a girls' night out. Don't miss the annual Women's Expo, Thursday, November 12th from 5 till 8 at the Cellars at Brook Park Farm in Lewisburg. Win a $1,000 shopping spree to New York City. No purchase necessary. Food and wine sampling from the locals' best. Gift baskets for prizes and a fashion show. Get your holiday shopping started at the Women's Expo, Thursday, November 12th from 5 till 8 at Cellars at Brook Park Farm, Lewisburg.
Sponsored by Sunbury Community Hospital, the Cellars at Brook Park Farm, Shade Mountain Winery, Skin Care at Family Practice Center, and the stations of Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation, including News Radio 1070 WKOK.
All right, welcome. Great to have you back. Oh, good. I'm on bus four. There we go.
Are you looking at the itinerary for Saturday's trip?
Yes. I'll let Jack know we're on bus four. We always take the last two seats in the back.
They always say that the troublemakers are in the back of the bus.
That's exactly why we go right there to start. No issue. We just go right to it. We understand who we are and what our role is. We are trouble, and that's it. Interesting. Matthew Harris, who fractured his cheekbones in a game, and they really thought he was out for the year. They now say he's going to play in the game on Saturday.
Wow.
Holy cow.
That has to be that has to be one of the most painful things. Fractured
cheekbone. He and Nick Van Hoos are two very good corners. They've combined for 11 interceptions in their career. Van Hoos has 6 and Harris has 5. Harris has 3 this year. Wow. Boy, I find that one. But Pat Fitzgerald said it today, and he's not just saying it just to say things. That's not how Pat operates. He says he's going to has a shot to play, but that's big. For their defense. That's a big emotional boost for them. They have an interesting quarterback situation with Clayton Thorson. I think this is not a read option team. He is not a read option quarterback. They run a little bit of option once in a while, little bit of speed option once in a while. If you look at the Nebraska game, he gained his yardage on ad-lib scramble. And he gained 130-plus yards. I mean, Nebraska did a terrible job of accounting for him. They had 30 against Nebraska, which that's the one you look at and go, wow. But there's so many other games where offensively they haven't generated much. I like Jackson a lot. He's a good, tough nut kind of kid. You know, you just hard, like, takes a lot of punishment. He's going to get you 4 yards a carry. You know, he's not a 3.9 yard a carry guy. You okay?
I'm listening.
Yeah. Did that go over your head?
Yeah. I think it did.
3.9 yard a carry guy?
No, I purposely left it go over my head. I knew where you were. Oh, I knew where you were going.
Yeah. Jones is a decent wideout. The guy that's really good for them. Okay. The two guys, Miles Shuler, number 5, is an X-factor guy. Vitaly, number 40, the super back, which is part tight end, part H-back. That's what they call it, a super back. He's a good football player. He will be drafted. Maybe in rounds 5 or 6, but he'll be a draftable player. He'll get on an NFL roster next year. Good player. Offensive line is okay. The center, Park, is really good, probably their best. Defensively, physical up front, Dean Lowry, 94, really good. Walker, 18, made his first career start against Penn State last year, and Jack and I were blown away by how well he played. He played a great game. He's continued to play at a very high level. Safeties are good. They're okay. I think there's some room back there. And the two corners, you know, if Harris really does play, if he doesn't, then Watkins will play. If Watkins is playing, you can pick on that corner all you want. So, the kicking game's good. Not great, but it's good. They're a good football team. They're far more physical football team. They were a physical football team when they went to the Rose Bowl in 95. They just pounded at you straight ahead with Autry all day long. And we're very physical up front. And they then, because, you know, look, you're Northwestern. I mean, let's face it. You've got obviously some academic regulations, I think, you know, to keep you consistently playing a certain way. So there's, how do you do that? Well, when Randy Walker got there from Miami of Ohio, he brought the spread offense in, and they've tried to outscore you. They tried to turn it into basketball on grass. Slowly but surely, Pat Fitzgerald has been getting them back to playing a more physical game, and so this is a different style Northwestern team than you're used to seeing. I think it's going to be a really good game. I'm looking for it. Penn State's playing its best football of the year. Western has a bye week coming off a great win for them again at Nebraska. So now we see. It's a tough November, which is good. I want to see a tough November.
Isn't it about time for 800 different websites to start putting together bowl projections?
Oh, sure. But that's fine. That's all part of the fun of it.
Ugh. Even I think it's too early for that.
You've been talking about the high school playoffs starting at September 22nd.
Actually, things started to come together in AAA around that time. Sounds strange, but... we're entering week 10 and the AAA playoffs are already decided.
Well, then put your feet up. Today's show has been brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. And from the Sunbury Motors studio, Steve Jones along with Kevin Herr, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We'll talk to you tomorrow on News Radio 1070 WKOK.